We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast. Hello, darlings, and welcome to Corpse Run Radio. This is mini episode 18.3. Again, with a little intro. This week, we have a short message from our friend Robin Blay. It's really great to hear from Robin again, our sweet friend. Robin, I hope that you're doing all right. Be well, and thank you so much for sending us a little message. We also have a great song by Kavo350 called Hellfire Citadel. We explore the Western Plague Lands with Grand Nagus, and we listen to a very interesting conversation regarding gamers and gaming culture by Asmongold. I hope that you enjoy it as much as I did, and that you have a wonderful week in and out of game this week.
I be searching in these caves, and I found this thing for Corpse Run Radio. It be from a person called Robin Blay, and it reads this: I will return when I have the time and my magics and fixings be in place. But for the moment, he says, I thank ye very much for all your good wishes. For the moment, I sign off.
Give myself to you and heed your call. Loptar Godan, the Iron Horde has surely found. The Shadow Council will devour all. So tell me, Godan, what is it you'll have me do? I pledge to you the day I drink the blood. I'm Kilrog, I'll kill all and bring them all their righteous doom. And I won't stop until my deed is done. This fire, hellfire, it fills this citadel. This scorching desire, it's turning me to It's all his fault, he's whom to blame. It was Gromash and his son who had changed the game. It's all their fault, betrayed Godan. But now they know they won't be stronger than I am. I trust you, Godan. Now bring the Legion to the front and watch the Iron Horde lose all their hope. Bring Iskar and Chrome Rock and anyone who surely wants to gain power that is theirs to own.
Master, the Frost Wolves are at the gate.
What?
They're storming onto the Citadel, and they've brought those from the portal.
But how? Never mind. Get out, you idiot. I'll make sure that Durotan and his Frost Wolves burn for their treason. Hellfire, great fire, now Frostwolf, it's your turn. Choose us or expire, submits or you will burn. Archimond is waiting. Archimond will burn you. This world will be ours, and it will.
Hello and welcome. Today I want to talk about the Western Plague Lands. The Western Plague Lands have been going through quite a big change when the world got affected by the cataclysm. Now it is a level 35 to 40 zone and it has two neutral flight points, two alliance flight points and one horde flight point. I would say that the one flight point for the horde is a result of the very close flight point in the Tirisfal Glades, that is the Bulwark. So they really don't need another separate flight point there. The Alliance flight points are Chilwind Camp and Anduhal. The Horde flight point is their side of Anduhal, and the two neutral flight points are Hearthglen and Mender's Stead. The two main cities in the zone are Anduhal and Hearthglen. Anduhal is the biggest city of the two, and being one of the distribution centers for agricultural supplies, Kel'Thuzad used its strategic value to spread the plague of undeath by poisoning the grain that shipped out from Anduhal to infest the northern part of Lordaeron. The grain that comes from Anduhal is the grain that we get to deal with in the prequest that we get from Chromie when we enter. Also, Anduhal is where Kel'Thuzad initially got defeated by Arthas before he raised him again and turned him into the lich that he is now. Since he's still not dead, we didn't destroy his phylactery, so don't get the false impression that Kel'Thuzad is dead. And with the implementation of Cataclysm, we get to see it becoming a battlefield in a fight between the Alliance and the Forsaken, between Thassarion and Kul'Tira Deathweaver, the two brothers-in-arms of the Knights of the Ebon Blade. If you remember back to the Death Knight starting area, Thassarion is the one that has us rescue Kul'Tira Deathweaver from the basement of the keep in the starting area, and we have to help him fight the boss so he can escape. And later we see the two on the respective airships over Ice Crown, but after the battle has started and the Alliance has gained a momentum in the fight, it turns out that Sylvanas will not accept the defeat, so she sends in some Valkyries and they turn the tide in the battle, and the Alliance, they run, they flee, and so Kul'Tira is the victor. But still, Sylvanas isn't all that happy, so she takes him back to Undercity to work a little on his loyalty, because she doesn't want him to have any doubts in where his loyalties lie between herself and Thassarion. As for Hearthglen, Hearthglen is the town where, before the Third War, Tyrion Fordring had his home, so to speak. It was his to rule. He was Lord of Mardenhold, and when he rescued Adric, or didn't kill him, outside of Hearthglen, and all the things that happened as a result of that, him losing his position and him being, so to speak, stripped of his power as a paladin, which really isn't possible, but Uther Lightbringer thought he was going to try as a punishment. So that was when he really hit rock bottom, Tyrion Fordring, and from there on We saw him at his shack on the border between Eastern and Western Plaguelands. If you want to know more about the story of this era that I just briefly mentioned, you can read Of Blood and Honor, a novel, a Warcraft book written by Chris Metzen. That is basically what I just told, is basically a synopsis of that novel. It's a very, very well written book, and it's very interesting to see the origins of Tyrion and the connection that he has with Adric. And you can really see and feel the character that is Tyrion forging. After Cataclysm hit, Hearthglen is being held by the Argent Crusade, as most of the northern and northeastern part, together with the Eastern Plaguelands. And if you quest through the Western and then the Eastern Plaguelands, you see the development there with regards to the Argent Crusade and the Argent Dawn. This is also the only area where you can gain rep for the Argent Dawn. If you want to have the rep there and the achievement for both the Argent factions. As I've done quite a few times now, if you want to read more about the Plaguelands, you can go ahead and read a book that is not really a book, it's a graphic novel. It's called Ashbringer, and that partly takes place in Hearthglen. And if you want to know more about Tyrion, as I said earlier, go and read Of Blood and Honor. One more thing I need to talk about is, and I mentioned him earlier, Uther Lightbringer and his tomb that is located in Western Plaguelands. It is located in Sorrow Hill, outside Andohow, and it is the one place that the Alliance go to pay tribute at the time of the Harvest Festival. So there you have it. So this has been it for me for this week. Next week I'm going to talk about Eastern Plaguelands. You can find me on Twitter at GrandNegus1. You can write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. And you can write into the show, corpserunradio@gmail.com. You can also visit the Pwncast streaming site on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/Pwncast. On Monday nights between 9:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, where I am going to be streaming a lore roundtable together with Lycan from Pwncast and Seraphida from Dalaran Academy. So if you want to know a little about lore, have questions, especially about what might happen in the next expansion, now that we know that it's going to be announced at Gamescom on the 6th of August, come and visit us. Join us in the chat room. Again, that's twitch.tv/Pwncast. Monday nights, 9:30 to 12:30 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Sup, y'all. It's me, it's your boy, Asmongold, and today I'm going to talk to you guys about gamers and gaming culture. Now, this has been something that's been discussed a lot in the past 2 years, I'd say, online and in media, and everywhere else in between. You know, somebody, like, I've played video games my whole life, and so I figured I'd give you guys my input on what it is really to be a gamer, what is gaming culture, and talk about some of the criticisms of gaming culture in a way that a lot of you guys probably have experienced them, or have at least heard of before. Now, also, I'd like to say, right before we really get into this, if it's not obvious already, this is definitely going to be more of a real talk video. It's just going to be me having a discussion with you guys about these issues. Now, I've really kind of talked about these things tangentially before in my other videos, but I've never really sat down and, you know, for us to really have a conversation and a discussion about this, and so I wanted to make sure that you guys know that it's probably going to be a longer video, and so just be aware of that. Now, the first thing that I'd really like to say is I'd like to talk about what is really a gamer and where did the word come from. Now, I think that the word has come from two different places. The first place is, I would say, mostly people who are younger. Whenever I was about 15 or 16, I very strongly identified as a gamer, and now I don't really at all. I don't really label myself as anything, honestly, but, you know, whenever I was younger, I definitely very strongly identified as a gamer, and I think that the reason for that is, you know, I wasn't really a part of, like, a sports group. I wasn't really a part of, like, any sort of, you know, activity group or anything like that in school. I was not really, you know, like, one of the popular people. I was not really one of the unpopular people either. I had a lot lot of really good friends in school. I had a lot of really good times. I would say that everything was like really, actually really good then. And so there's nothing really negative about that. But also at the same time, you know, whenever you're 15 and 16, you don't really have a very strong self-image or anything like that. And so, you know, having a word that you can attach to yourself and a word that you can self-identify by, because in a lot of ways, gamer is a positive way of self-identification and of labeling yourself. As a comparison, like somebody calling somebody a hipster, it has a lot more negative connotation. And so a lot less people self-identify as hipsters as they do as gamers. And so a lot of people who are younger, I would say like mostly guys, the majority of people that I know who are gamers, who were gamers, and you know, that I see on my channel and everything, you know, are almost all male. And so almost all of them, it's hard to really have like that same self-image and you know, self-confidence whenever you're a lot younger. And so you have this label that you put on yourself, and then you see somebody else who's also a gamer, and it's a sense of solidarity. I think that that's a really good thing for people. You know, no matter really what it is, it's always important to have people that understand you and everything like that. Now, the second way or type of people who have created this idea of the gamer is marketing executives at gaming merchandise companies. Let's be real, guys. If you can basically make people buy into the idea that they are part of this group, like a gamer or something like that, and then you put out, like, let's say Dorito flavored Mountain Dew or vice versa, and you know, you say that this is fuel for gamers or food for gamers, something like that. When you're already dealing with people who have a very, I would say, like, weak self-image in general, and gamers are a very, very large audience. Like, there's no real, like, it's like people, it's like football fans. Like, everybody, I think, whenever you would say football fan, you'd think of, like, you know, somebody's dad, you know, who sits home on, you know, on Sunday and gets drunk with his buddies and watches football. But realistically, I think that we all know that there are a very broad group of people who are football fans, and it's the same with gamers. And so I do want to say, if I ever really do say in this video and generalize gamers at all, I apologize for that, because everybody is different. And, you know, this isn't an organization that has any sort of a hierarchy that you can be kicked out of or anything like that. And so you're not really responsible for what other people do who also self-identify as a gamer, because you have no real control over that person. Anyway, so you have this group of people who, you know, have a very hypothetically weak self-image, and then you put out this product that's supposed to be for gamers. And so in a way, if this person does not buy this product, they're in a way betraying their own self-image and a sense of identity. And we kind of have to be aware of that and know really kind of what that is, because it's important to really see things for what they are. Now, is this really a bad thing? You could argue that it is. You could argue that it's not. It's just a way of selling things. I would say that it's manipulative, if anything. And so I'd like to make sure you guys know really kind of where I stand on the word gamer. Now, the second thing is what I was saying before about people who are playing gamers. This is, everybody has a different definition of what a gamer is. It's like if you go into a church of really any religion and you ask 20 different people of what that religion really means, what it's really about, you're probably going to get 20 different answers. Of course, there will be things that are very similar between many of them, but at the end of the day, everybody kind of looks at this thing a little bit differently, and I think it's the same as being a gamer. Being a gamer for me was different than it was for somebody that plays now, because for no other real reason that they don't really have the online component that we have now. Now, the reason that I don't really self-identify as a gamer is because I do a lot of other things with my time. You know, I make videos, and while they are related to gaming, they're not always related to gaming. I've done that really my whole life, and I've done a lot of other things too. I have a lot of other interests, and you know, I find that self-identification and labeling yourself is more, what's really the word, is more constricting than it is positive. And so I'm not really going to say you shouldn't label yourself as anything. It really kind of depends on how you really feel. If it makes you feel better to call yourself a gamer, then do it. Don't let anybody tell you that you should or shouldn't really do anything, you know, especially not some random guy on the internet. And so I'd really kind of like to talk to you guys about that, because it's like really kind of where it all comes from. Now, there's been a lot of, I guess, like criticism about gamers recently in terms of gamers disliking certain types of people, or, you know, gamers being rude or something like that. Now, I think the general, like, I would say like 95%, and this is being a little bit generous, is complete bullshit. Okay, like, let's be real, guys. When you have a label that you're putting on like millions of different people who are not really, they're playing different games, they're, you know, they're different kinds of people, there's no real way that you can say that gamers in general are anything, really, except for like maybe human. But I mean, you got AI, you know, you got bots in games, and so really, I mean, you can't even stop there. And so I'd like to say that as well. There's no real gamer. You know, as I said before, there's a stereotypical gamer, which is like usually, you know, basement dweller, neckbeard, you know, usually younger male. And so, you know, it's important to understand what the stereotypes are. And a lot of stereotypes are in a lot of ways based on reality. But whenever you look at each individual person, it's very rare to actually find somebody who actually does fit the stereotype. Like, I remember one time, this is like a little bit of an aside, but I just like to say, because it's funny, and I just thought of it. Like, I was at Target one time, and I actually saw a guy with a neckbeard with a My Little Pony t-shirt, and he was wearing cargo pants, and he was wearing a fedora. It was like seeing a zebra. It's like, you know, whenever you see a zebra online, it's like, oh, there's another one. You know, who gives it? You know, I don't want to, why am I keep looking at these damn zebras? But whenever you go to the zoo and like, yo, there it is. There's a zebra, and you see it. It's real life. You know, it's like, you know, this is like actual real life, whereas before you're just looking at it online. It's like whenever I saw this person, I was like, oh my God, there's one. It's right there. And it was like really, really crazy for me. And like my buddy was there, and you know, we didn't really say anything to him or anything. It was just like kind of interesting to see somebody who does really fit the stereotype perfectly. And I think that like really kind of what I want you guys to get out of that is how rare it really is. It's very rare to find people who actually really fit any real type of stereotype. And so make sure that you know that as well. Gamers are, in my opinion, very inclusive, and it really kind of depends also about what game you play. And I will concede this. I've been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm, and back before the game went into like actual release and out of beta, it seemed to me that there are a lot more people who had no real desire of helping each other, no real desire of playing as a team. They were it's like if you say anything like negative to them, they'll just automatically like throw the game and ruin it for everybody else. And so like that, you know, really turned me off of the game, and I actually quit the game because of that. And I might come back in a later date, but for this time being, say my Heroes of the Storm adventures are on hiatus because of how bad that community and that game treated me in terms of that real atmosphere. You know, I was just playing one night and I just had bad game after bad game after bad game, and you know, really obnoxious, like bad players and belligerent, and I was just like, you know what, this is, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to play this game anymore. It's not that really gamers are bad. It's not anything like that. I had a really bad experience in the game, and because of that, I just got fed up for it for a while. Now, another thing that I hear this a lot, and this is something that I read a lot on YouTube and really everywhere on Twitch TV, is this whole idea of fake gamers, fake gamer girls, the whole thing like that. And I've kind of discussed like really what does that really mean, and the whole idea of is somebody really a fake gamer girl? You know, is this really possible? Now, I'll kind of explain the term for you guys, since a lot of people probably don't know. It's whenever a girl, you know, takes on and says that she is a gamer, but she doesn't really play video games a lot. She just basically says this to get attention from males. Now, don't say that I'm wrong or right with this. This is the definition that people use for this term. I'm just telling you what the definition is. Now, is this really true or not? I'd say the majority of the times, I've never really met one of these people. And because gamer isn't really an organization that you join, it's not like the Masons or, you know, it's not like anything, it's not like, you know, any sort of organization at all that you join and has a hierarchy or anything. You know, you can just self-identify as a gamer whenever you want. And so you can't really say that one person is or is not a gamer just because of, you know, some kind of like arbitrary reason. And also, I'd really like to kind of say this whole thing, like, I think that a lot of people, like, they dislike it because this girl is like, you know, gaming and gamers and nerds in a way have kind of been more socially acceptable and in a way trendy. And so this person is kind of taking on the positive aspects of being a gamer or being a nerd without incurring the negative repercussions that maybe some of us might have incurred. And I was never really made fun of for playing video games, except for like maybe by some random like ghetto chick like once or twice in high school. You know what I mean? Like it's just extremely rare, and I never really have experienced that. I know a lot of other people have, and I'm sorry to hear that, but that's one of the things, is that gamers are not really always looked very positively upon in society. And so this person, you know, male or female, is taking on the positive attributes of this stereotype or this culture without necessarily incurring the negative aspects as well. It's a lot of like the same logic that people use with the idea of like cultural appropriation, which is also similarly, in my opinion, mostly bullshit. And so, you know, as a person, like as a guy, I'm not a girl, so I've never really experienced what it's really like for people to question, I guess, like your fandom of something, or, you know, do you really have the right to call yourself a gamer, something, you know, crazy like that. But I, you know, if you minus the girl onto that and fake gamer or fake anything like that, I've experienced that a lot. I think a lot of people have, and I'd kind of like to explain why it is really at all. Now, I think that the main thing is there are a lot of different kinds of games, but the real people who identify as gamers at all are most of people who play more competitive games. And so in a very competitive and aggressive, environment, there's a lot of an idea of like kind of proving yourself and kind of like creating your own self-worth. And this is also like something that has to do with like it being a male environment too. Males, like guys are more more apt to be competitive than girls are. It's like just pretty much science. Now, again, that's another stereotype. And so, like, I know, like, there are some girls that are just, you know, they're vicious, like, and, you know, there are some guys who just roll over at the first step, you know, and, you know, you can never really, I guess, like, you know, take these stereotypes and condense them down to an individual. It's very rare to do that. But as a general rule, I would say, you know, gaming, you know, the whole gamer culture is more aggressive and more competitive, definitely competitive and, you know, goal driven and stuff like that. It's like the, you know, it's like the salty Splatoon. You know, you've got to prove that you're tough enough in order to get in. And it's like whenever I would play Magic the Gathering, you know, I would like go to the card shop, and it's like back then, this was like 10 years ago, and I was like just old enough really to kind of start going. And it's like if you hadn't played since at least like Antiquities, like you're just not even just casual, like don't even talk to me. Or like if you haven't won at least a couple of drafts before, have a certain amount of DCI points, you just don't even really count. And you know, it's like also, you know, I met one of my best friends now through us like kind of like trying to prove to each other that we knew more about the Tolkien universe and Lord of the Rings than the other one. It's like the nerdy version of anarchy is when they all shave because it'll take them weeks to regrow their neckbeards and you know, establish dominance of who's the biggest neckbeard. And I also want to say that this whole idea of like kind of proving yourself and, you know, initiation, I guess you would say, atmosphere is not really just unique to gaming. In the Army, they have basic training, which is in a lot of ways kind of an initiation. In companies and corporations, they have internships. You know, let's see. Oh, in business school, you know, when I was in business school, you know, everybody would always be comparing, like, their GPA, you know, what's your class rank? And, like, if your class rank was higher than somebody else's, you'd remind them of that a lot. And, you know, it would, like, motivate that other person to improve. Like, I remember my buddy was like rank 2 and I was rank 5, and I heard about this all the time until, you know, I think that we always like it was like rank 3 and he was rank 4 or something like that. And so it was really competitive and it would motivate me to play better. And so what really kind of is a good environment for somebody who's very competitive is not necessarily a good environment for somebody who's not competitive. And also I'd like to say that if you are not competitive, that does not necessarily mean that this is a negative thing or a positive thing that you are competitive. Usually people who are more competitive are more prone to success, but that doesn't mean that being non-competitive is a negative trait or anything like that. It's really just kind of how people are. And so really there's all over in the world, especially in more competitive, you know, aggressive, and there's a lot of overlap between like male dominated atmospheres. There's a very strong idea of kind of proving yourself and, you know, like kind of proving yourself to the group. You know, like the first time that I won a draft at the card shop, I felt really, really great. And then I came back and, you know, like the, and like, I'm not even kidding. Like they're just big, like huge, huge fat guys, you know, they like knew, they like recognized me by my name and they waved at me. I was like, yes, I was so happy. It was like the best day ever. And you know, it's like that gratification and everything like that. It's like the whole thing is wrapped up into that. And there are people who really love this stuff. And you know, they love the competition and the aggressiveness like I do. And there are people who just hate it. So I think that one of the things here is that, you know, somebody who's like maybe like some girl who's like kind of in the games, but I mean, they don't really play all the time, right? Because they have other things to do. And then they have some neckbeard comes over and tells them, oh, you're not a real gamer because, you know, you haven't gotten all like 100 and whatever 20 stars in Super Mario 64. It's like, play Super Smash Brothers and you don't play Fox, you know, Final Destination items, no items, by the way. And, you know, it's like, don't even talk to me, you know, and this is like, it's everywhere. And so, you know, people are always trying to look at a way to kind of like assert their superiority of one another, especially with gaming. And it's like, I'll give you a real life example of this with myself. I was at the thrift store yesterday. I got this shirt there, actually. It's very nice. I like it a lot. That's why I'm wearing it in the video. So I was talking to the dude there and he was like, hey, you know, yeah, I've game too. And I was like, oh, it's awesome, dude. And so like, we're kind of talking to each other and I'm like, you know, I think I said something about like game and like, he didn't really recognize it. And then he said something back to me and I didn't really recognize it. And it's like kind of like trying to like gauge like how into it is this other guy, you know, how much are they into the same thing that you're into and everything like that. And the real difference between, you know, what we were doing and what, you know, these people who have these bad experiences with like people calling them like fake gamers or fake gamer girls or fake nerds or whatever, is that whenever I found out that he didn't know as much about Super Smash Brothers as I did, and he found out that I didn't know as much about Fallout as he did, then I didn't say, oh, you're not a real gamer. Come on, bro. Come on. You play Bowser? Get the fuck out of here. You don't even talk to me. And, you know, at the same time, I don't even know anything about Fallout, so I wouldn't even know what he would say. But, you know, know, we didn't really say, you know, we didn't say a thing. You know, we could both enjoy the same thing at the same time. It wasn't really a competition. And, you know, it was a good experience for both of us. And, you know, you don't really, I would say, you know, everybody is entitled to their own opinion. You can say somebody's a fake gamer girl, fake gamer. The fuck can I do about it? You know, like, you can say whatever you want. But, you know, so can I. And I'm going to say it's really fucking stupid to say that. Are there instances of people who pretend to be gamers for attention? Yes, of course. Obviously, I mean, like, game developers, like, this has been a big thing with gaming as well. Game developers were upset. Because, or not game developers, but, like, people in the, culture or whatever, were upset that game developers and, like, other people would pay models, basically, to go around in conventions and pretend to be gamers. And, like, the whole booth babe thing and everything. And so this has been something that, is actually already, like, there's a real precedent for people being upset about this in, from both sides of the spectrum here. And so to say that it isn't real at all is kind of ridiculous. But to say that somebody who expresses a similar interest that you do, and you just have a lot more knowledge about the situation, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that person isn't a real player. And, if you say that kind of stuff, for one, you could be missing the train to Pound Town. But also at the same time, you know, you're just being a dick, and there's no real reason to do that personally, and I don't really like it. And it's not also even with gamers, you know, it's like, oh, you listen to Escape the Fate still, and, you know, Ronnie Radke isn't in the band, just don't, what the fuck, you know, you're not even a real fan, you know. It's like, and you hear this shit all the time, and I hate it. And it's always like some kind of a competition on who knows more about, or who does more of something, who's enjoying this thing in the most correct way. And and that's pretty much all I really want to say about this, because I could go on, because it's really kind of ridiculous. And I hope that if you do that, you know, you at least make sure that you really know what you're talking about, because I just don't do it, honestly. Just don't do it. Now, the next thing that I'm going to talk about is the gaming community. Is the gaming culture inclusive in general? Now, you know, this is in a lot of different aspects. Are they inclusive of girls? Are they inclusive of minorities? Are they inclusive of anything else, right? And so a lot of you guys have probably heard that, gamers are, like, racist or sexist or something like that. The majority of that's bullshit. I think we both know that. Anybody that's really spent a lot of time playing games, especially, like, MMOs, that really facilitate a lot of social interaction, probably knows that that's bullshit. And, the people who write that stuff probably don't. So, I mean, like, really, I'm not really going to discuss that a whole lot, but I am going to talk about kind of this, you know, like, one of the experiences that I was talking about with Heroes of the Storm, and you guys saw how much effort I went into with, like, kind of creating the distinction between, you know, just, like, Heroes of the Storm having a toxic or problematic or whatever community, to where I had a bad experience in Heroes of the Storm and it caused me to not want to play the game anymore. And I think that what a lot of people have is that they don't really have a problem with the gaming community, and there's no real way that you can, because the gaming community is, for one, it's not an organization. You know, there's no real guiding principle of the gaming community. And so if you have a problem with a person of this gaming of the quote gaming community, there's no real way that you can extrapolate that and say the whole gaming community holds this same mindset, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter. Like, there are huge racists in gaming. There are just tons of them, right? There's people who hate women in gaming. It's just, they're, of course, because there are people who hate women in general. It's going to happen, right? But that doesn't mean that everybody who plays video games, you know, is a racist or hates women. It's ridiculous. And so what people do is they have an experience. They go on a game and somebody treats them like shit, right? Like I had in Heroes of the Storm. Instead of saying, you know, I've had a bad experience on Heroes of the Storm tonight, I'm just not going to play the game for a while, they extrapolate that and say everybody who is a gamer or shares some similar attribute with the person that they had this negative experience with, all of those people are bad. And this is not just, I mean, I think you guys can obviously see, this is not just something that happens with gamers, and it happens in real life. Like, somebody has something stolen from them by a Hispanic person, a Mexican, you know, or I guess it's kind of this similar, you know, black person, a, you know, anything like that, a person from a different nationality, like somebody from Canada stole something, or somebody from Canada did something that they don't like, and so then they think all Canadians are idiots or something like that. You hear that all the time. And please, guys, whenever you have people that are creating these just ridiculous generalizations, call it out, please call it out, because if anything is toxic, it's that. It's just creating these generalizations based on this, you know, anecdotal evidence of an experience that you had. Really, kind of one person's experience doesn't really invalidate another person's experience. And so whenever I say that, you know, I haven't experienced these negative things but somebody else has, both of these things can be true at the same time. You know, one person can experience being discriminated against and another person cannot not experience being discriminated against. And both of these things can happen to them by the same organization, and even if they're both, like, you know, of the same, I guess, like, thing that they were being discriminated against for. And, you know, it's not like one experience invalidates the other, but what really is the problem here is that we're not talking about experiences, we're talking about opinions and people talking about how all of the people who are, you know, one type or another are all this one way because they had an experience with a select amount of individuals that were this one way before. And so, you know, it's like kind of the same thing. You know, a lot of gamers are very hostile towards this and this whole idea, and it's really kind of not a big surprise. It's like you ask, it's like, you know, I had this one, my buddy Jeff, he's like, you know, why are you mad? I'm like, I'm not mad. It's like, why are you mad? I'm not mad. Why are you mad? Because you keep asking me if I'm mad. You know, like, it's just, you kind of like provoke people over and over and over and over, and you're going to get a reaction. And especially if you demonize them and treat them like they are, you know, bad, or, you know, especially if you want to label them in things that they're obviously not, just to kind of push some sort of a narrative or agenda or something like that. And so it's very important to be aware of these things and always see them no matter where they are. I'd say that this is a very good thing to be watching out for, no matter really who you are or where you're coming from. Now, you know, in terms of if gamers are inclusive or not, now, I've had opportunities, like, I've played World of Warcraft for almost a decade now, and, you know, I've interacted with thousands of people. And, you know, for me, I've never really seen a lot of, like, very strong discrimination really ever, you know, by other people. I think that a lot of other people have seen that, and, you know, I'm lucky enough to have never really had to deal with that, you know, and so that's really great. You know, I guess, like, my proof in point is I'm going to show you guys a screenshot of my guild pulling Cho'Gall, and I'll kind of tell you guys about a few people in that party, or raid, actually. So our raid leader, he had spent, at this point, the past 4 years screaming and yelling at us because we were complete retards, and we needed to learn the game, and if we didn't, just go off and kill yourself. Well, he actually married his husband a couple years ago, and you'd never really expect that, but it's true. The next person is was a competitive motorcycle racer who is also the realm first level 70. And I guess the next person that we really would want to look at is Dave, my person who I was proud to call my guild leader for many years. Dave, one of the best resto druids I've ever played with. And, you know, at this point in this video and this screenshot, really, he's more casual because he had a kid a couple years ago. And so it's really all of these different types of people who are completely different in real life, all coming together to achieve a certain goal. And I think that's really one of the strongest things that gaming can really give you, is that, you know, you have this opportunity to interact with people who never really have an opportunity to interact with. I mean, like, what you see in the screenshot is really only a small bit. It's like you don't really see the pothead and the police officer that were in our guild who would be bullshitting all night playing Battlegrounds and, you know, having a great time. But you don't see, like, me and my buddy, my resto shaman friend, you know, doing arena together for 3 years. But the problem is, like, he had really bad latency, but it's not really a surprise because he lived in Fiji, you know. And, you know, really what you don't see is, like, all these other lives that have been connected. I know what it's like, in a way, to live in Fiji. You know, I know what it's like to be in a, I guess, like, very Asian American centric environment, in a way, because we had people in our guild who were part of that. You know, I've had this insight into these other people's lives that has allowed me really to understand them better and not worse. It's actually helped me a lot with understanding different people. And, you know, I guess, like, whenever, you know, like, they're a dwarf and you're an elf, you know, just being a different kind of human is really a lot of common ground. And so I'm glad that I did this video and talked to you guys about this stuff, because I hear a lot about, you know, gamers being, you know, whatever you want to call them. I don't really think that it's true at all. I think that there are some people who play video games who are like that, and some people who play video games that aren't. I would say the majority of people are not like that. From my experiences with other people, it's not like, you know, okay, I've never been discriminated. No, I've never seen this happen in general. And so, again, just because I haven't seen it happen doesn't mean it's not happening. It's happening. Of course it's happening. But it's not really as common as people make it. And, you know, just be aware of the generalizations. I think that gaming's given me, like, probably one of the best things. You know, like, whenever I was, like, 14 and 15, I was sitting in there in my room, you know, all, you know, lights off, you know, in the dark, you know, coming home and playing Halo 2 with all my friends, and I was meeting people, and, like, we'd just sit there for hours, and this was, like, the first time you were really able to connect with another person online and talk to them, and, you know, you have, like, this similar interest, and then you talk to this person, and you find out, you know, like, what they're really about, and, you know, like, I would sit there for, like, 3 or 4 hours and talk to somebody about just anything. It was a crazy, you know, I guess, like, way to, because, like, before that, you know, you had, like, you know, your dozen or two dozen friends, and then all of a sudden you have, like, all these people that you're meeting from these crazy different, you know, different countries, you know, different, completely, really different worlds. And, you know, you're discussing, you know, like, kind of everything really with this person and telling them what your life is about and then hearing what their life is about. And, you know, that has really given me a lot as an individual and as a gamer, too. It's helped me understand people very well and really be a lot more, I would not really say sensitive. I'm not a very sensitive guy, but be a lot more understanding and empathetic in a way of how really other people are. And it's, you know, gaming and like interacting with those people for all these years has really given me that. And I'm really glad to see people who are growing up now still having that same experience that I've had. And I hope that you guys are having that too. You know, I really got a lot out of that. And, you know, I remember there was a kid that lived across the street and he would come home and then he'd come over here. And then he'd like, he was like a few years younger than me. Like, he was like 9 or like 10. And he would be telling people why he's 33 years old. And it's like all this crazy stuff. And, you know, like just interacting with these older people, younger people, you know, kids, and just, you know, everything, just, you know, having this really connection over this common ground that you both love, you know, this Halo 2, World of Warcraft, you know, League of Legends, Heroes of the Storm, but, you know, be careful. A lot of these different things. And, you know, I've really gotten a lot out of it. And I hope if you're a person who plays a lot of video games, if you're a quote gamer, that you do too. And I think it's probably the best thing that I've gotten out of gaming in general is just being able to interact with all of these weird, crazy, different people and understanding and being on the same team with this raging gay guy and, you know, motorcycle driver and Dave and, you know, this like guy who barely speaks any English, and we've all come together to kill Ragnaros or something like that, and we do it. And that is a really great feeling. And just despite all of our differences, we put them all aside and, you know, learn to understand that to achieve a common greater goal. And so I hope that you guys have had that same experience that I've had. Let me know if you have, and if not, I guess let me know that too. I guess it'll be a pretty short comment, though. Anyway, video's pretty long, so hopefully I've covered about as much as I want to talk about. So, thanks for watching, and like, comment, subscribe.